nailed to the cross. I've been telling you on Wednesday night, and I hope that you'll come on Wednesday night if you can. Because of the future year, I've been teaching without fear and also setting sail in our new year. This is a new year for us. But Jesus Christ, I've also told you, we are complete in Him. We are complete in Jesus. I'd like to read a few verses this morning in Colossians chapter 2, and we'll be dealing with several others in this chapter. But here before you are some things that Jesus Christ, by fact, has nailed to the cross. A lot of times we don't feel like we should feel towards these things. But I want you to see this morning, as you take this piece of paper and with that invisible pen and with invisible ink, some things that maybe have haunted you, some sins. But Jesus Christ says, I've nailed it to the cross. I told Allison this morning what I was going to do. She asked me about this little box, and she asked me about what I was going to do. And I said, what we're going to do is write down our sins and our shortcomings and our things that hurts us and haunts us. And she says, I already know one of mine. I'm not going to tell you what she said, but she already admitted. I said, well, darling, we all have them. Amen? Amen. We all have them. Amen. But the fact that I have been forgiven, that's a fact, not a feeling. I'm saved. That's a fact. It's not a feeling. And we'll introduce what Jesus Christ says about this as I read these verses of scriptures. Colossians chapter 2 and starting in verse 13. And you, talking to us, being dead in your sins, was lost. And in the uncircumcision of your flesh, have he quickened, made alive together with him, having forgive you all our trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, and listen, nailed it to his cross. Having spoiled principalities and power, he made a show of them openly, triumph over them. Let us again go to the Lord in prayer. Father Jesus, we thank you for your precious word. Father, we just pray for the overshadowing of the understanding of the Holy Spirit of God this day. Might take the word of God, and Lord, we may apply it to your heart and to see what you have really done 2,000 years ago. You have already nailed these things to the cross. Lord, by faith, we might plead these to you this hour and to understand that they are nailed to the cross. You have completed your work. It is finished. If we just understand that this day and grasp the facts of your holy word and to understand what you really done for us 2,000 years ago, and by faith when we receive you as Lord and Savior, you have saved our soul, and the things that we wrestle with this day have already been nailed to the cross. We plead the mercy this day. We plead for understanding, O God, of our heart. We just plead, O God, for the grace be upon this service and to each person here today. And if there's a person here today who has never accepted you, Jesus Christ, Father, they've never had that experience, though they may be a church member, though they may not be. Father, we pray, God, that you might intervene in their life this day, and they may understand that they need to be quit playing church, but Lord, they need to have a fresh, new experience with Jesus Christ, the living from the dead, the resurrection Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, we pray and thank you in the precious and the holy name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. On Wednesday night, I've told on Wednesday night that how that we are self-contained. It says we are complete in Him. In fact, in this same chapter, in verse 10 of this same chapter, it says, ye are complete in Him. That word complete, as I've been telling the people, that you are self-contained. You started on the sea of life and there's nothing. They are nothing that you need. You are self-contained in the ship of Jesus Christ, the ark of safety. Everything that you need for this life is in Jesus Christ when you set voyage to that new land that's called heaven this day. to understand that we have everything in these verses of scriptures, that we start a new day today, a new day tomorrow, next week, next month, and this year, a new future. Jesus Christ says, I've nailed these old things to the cross of Calvary. We don't have to worry about being a slave to sin any longer. We do not have to obey sin. He says, I've nailed that to the cross. We don't have to worry about being condemned by the law. I cannot keep the law. He says, I have nailed the law to the cross. I don't have to worry about being bullied by the devil. He cannot make me or make you, any child of God, do anything. I don't have to worry, or you don't have to worry about being bullied by the devil. I don't even have to be worried about intimidation by death. I don't have to worry about death because I know that Jesus Christ has made my life over again. I am a new creature in Jesus Christ. I live forevermore. I may go through the grave. I might go up in the rapture, but I'm going to live forevermore. I don't have to worry about being bullied by the death. When the time of death comes for me and comes for you, if you are a saved person, you will not have to worry about the fear, because Jesus Christ has rose again, and I don't have to worry about being intimidated by death. He's nailed it to the cross. So while I'm preaching this sermon this morning, I would like for you to take your invisible pen and that piece of paper I hope that everybody has, and you just write down with that invisible ink the things that God knows on your heart already, things that we have wrestled with since we've been saved, the things that keep pulling us back to this old world. As I preach, the Holy Spirit of God, I'll let you know exactly what that is. It may be one, or it may be 10 things. There's room on that paper to write everything that you need to write, that God knows and understands that piece of paper. And whenever we get through, if God moves upon your heart, there's a box here at the bottom of the cross. I'd like for you to get up and bring that piece of paper and place it at the foot of the cross under the blood of Jesus Christ, and then we're going to show you what it means to be nailed to the cross of Calvary, nailed to that cross. Every one of our shortcomings, everything that we ever need, all the fear that we ever have, every temptation that the devil tries to get us, he got everything, it says, nailed to the cross of Jesus Christ. Some sin may haunt us, and you might have already asked God to forgive you, but I still have this old guilt. I still feel this old guilt in my soul. It might be the law of God that condemns you, that you're not living up to the holy law of God. Jilly Graham said one time to a bunch of preachers that was praying in a praying room, he says, preachers, pray for me that I might have a holy life and be a holy person for Jesus Christ. If Billy Graham could say, Lord, I want to be holy, if that's your desire, if that's the flow of the river in your heart towards heaven, if that's the flow that God has placed, that you know that you're saved without a shadow of doubt, and you're flowing towards heaven all the time, and you want to live a holy life, yet there's things along the way that cause you to go east and west, and also sometimes north again, but the flow of your heart, there's a desire there, the pull of your heart this day, to understand that you want to go towards the holy life that God has called each and every one of us today, like the Mississippi River, as Billy Graham said, a holy life. He says the world, you know, has an attraction and a pull for us each day. It may be, you know, the world is pulling you, and you know what, the world, like, you know, gravity, it pulls every one of us in a way, and it's away from God every time. It might be just the flesh, the old lusty flesh that we all have. Everybody has something that pulls us away from God. It might be this old lustly desire that we have that works on you every day, this old flesh. It might be the devil, and the power they have is trying to control our life and pull us away from God. You don't, maybe it's something that you're not obeying God in. It may be that you're your attendance today. God has called you with a holy calling. It's not what you want to do. It's not even that you consider to do it. God has already called you. You do not belong to yourself. You're called with a holy calling, and you've been saved by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and your life no longer belongs to you. It belongs to Jesus Christ. But yet you know that your attendance may not be what it ought to be. Your heart might be in a place it should not be. You know, you may not be tithing on income that God has commanded each and every one of us to start of the 10%, and that's just a starting point. Fear of death maybe be bothering you. Maybe it's a sickness today. Anyway, as you take this paper and you write down on exactly what's bothering you with that ink, you know, that's invisible, that God knows knows all about it. And by the grace of God, the reason we can do this today, because Jesus Christ is already nailed to the cross 2,000 years ago. I'd like to give you the background now of this for just a few moments. And the background of this is when the Romans, when they found somebody guilty of a crime, they condemned that person, whatever that crime was, and they put that person in prison. And over that door, there was a certificate of debt, whatever that person was tried for and the guilty crime they was. And over that door, that certificate of debt was put there. It may be for what that person had done, the crime. And then also the day, the month, the weeks, and the years that person had to pay, had to stay in that jail or in that prison until that time was up. And when that time was up, that debt of certificate was given unto that man or to that person. It was signed by a judge, and he carried that certificate around with him. Well, he would never have to worry about double jeopardy anymore because it had been paid in full. But now when it was capital punishment was involved at the Roman time, that means when somebody had done something that deserved death for at some time. What would happen even whenever Jesus Christ had old Pilate put Jesus Christ on the cross, and you know, over the cross would put King of the Jews, you know, that was insurrection against Caesar. And for that, you see, they crucified him openly. And the same thing with capital punishment, they would put him on the cross, and they would put him on the cross, and they would be there until they died in agony. And it was open, and it was publicly, as in the country that we're living in today. Used to be, one day, you know what, in this country, people put them to death by hanging, and it was a public hanging. But not only that, also the firing squad, that people might watch and see somebody hung on their neck until dead, or a firing squad. In this case, at the Roman time, what they did, they had put somebody on the cross, and it was publicly where everybody could see it. At the time that Jesus Christ was put on the cross of Calvary, it was a time of the great Passover, when the feast of the Passover, and three different times that the Jews migrated in the great city of Jerusalem there to have the feast of the Passover. This was one of the great times, and people come from all over the place to come, and there was a lot of people everywhere today, and they put him on that cross publicly, what everybody can see. And the reason they done this, when people go by and they see this, and they see the agony and the pain and the blood and the anguish of a man on the cross, and over his top of the cross would be what he had done that caused him to be on that cross and die in such agony and pain. And they said, King of the Jews. He was King of the Jews. In this case, it was Jesus Christ. And so when people would walk by and they would see Jesus Christ and see these criminals, and they begin to squirm and twist and you know, for their own life, and maybe cry out in agony and pain, and the blood would come from their hands and blood would come from their feet, and they would just cry out in agony and pain, trying to get one more breath. That people will walk by and see this, for everybody to watch it, this, and people would say, man, I tell you what, I won't never do that. That man's gone across his top of his across what he has done, and they would say, boy, I won't never ever do this. Oh no, sirree, not me. You know what they thought? They thought that they was crucifying Jesus Christ because that he had sinned against Caesar. But Jesus Christ was dying on the cross because of sin that you and I had against God. They was crucifying him. So this is the background. They was dying. And 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he have made him to be sin for us. That was Jesus, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. This is Jesus today, and he 2,000 years ago, he died for you. The tragedy that Jesus died, I'm going to tell you, the dirtiest deed that mankind could ever do. You say, well, I wasn't born then. It wasn't me. Oh, yes, it was, sir. Ma'am, I want to tell you that you have sinned. Now, you put to death our dear Lord Jesus Christ because every one of us sinned. The Bible said we've all sinned to come short of the glory of God, and God cannot overlook not one sin. Would there be a person here today that say, I have never sinned, I've never stole anything, I've never told a lie? Would be any person today that stand up and say, I've never sinned? I'll tell you, God says we all sin. if you was daring to say that, it would be your word against God. And God has said, I can never lie. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. It was a tragedy what Jesus Christ was on the cross of Calvary, but also it was triumph. Why? Because it said, and you being dead in trespasses and sin and the uncircumcision of your flesh, have he quickened. Today he's made you alive with him, having forgiven all your trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinance against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way and nailed it to the cross. I'm going to tell you, I got six things on the board here this morning. And these six things, I'm going to tell you, facing the future, every day of our life is future that God lets us live. Every day, every week, every month, and every year that we're facing the future. And I'm going to tell you what he has done for us. These six things you will have to face. Part of you will face today. Some of them you might face tomorrow, but you're going to face these six things continuously every day, every week, every month, all the time until God calls us to glory. I want to tell you that Jesus Christ has nailed every one of these to the cross of Calvary. You don't have to fear. We don't have to worry because he has nailed these to the cross of Calvary. These enemies, and you can remember what he's done. He's done this for you and I today. This is the illustration that I want you to understand. That piece of paper, and I hope that you got one this morning. I hope that God is already writing something down on that paper with that invisible pen and that invisible ink. And I want to tell you what, it'd be washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. It'd be nailed to this cross. Jesus Christ says, I've took it out of the way. First thing is the condemnation of sin. In verse 13, being dead in your sins. Every one of us, you say, well, I'm a pretty good lady. I'm a pretty good man. I'll tell you today, you are condemned to death because we are sinners by God. He says we have sin. My sin debt have been paid for. I don't have to worry. It says the condemnation of sin. He nailed that to the cross. I tell you what, I have broken God's law. I broke every one of the Ten Commandments, either in deeds or either in thought. Every one of us today, there's nobody can live without breaking the law of God. It was never intended for mankind to keep the law of God because God knew that mankind can never keep the law of God. It just shows us as a mirror exactly how dirty we are, and you cannot wash your face in a mirror. You have to go to the pan of water, and that water is the blood of Jesus Christ. It cleanses us from all righteousness. He says Jesus nailed it to the cross. James 2 and 10 says, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point is guilty of all. I tell you, I'm the one that broke all of these. I'm the one that broke these laws. Romans 8 and 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. I want to tell you today, I am not condemned by this world. I am not condemned because my sins have been forgiven. He's nailed my sin to the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago. I'm not condemned by sin any longer. Romans 8, 33 and 34 also says, who shall say anything to the elect of God? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is, rose again, who is even at the right hand of God, who has made intercession for us today. It's a good point to think it is. Who can point a finger at you today? You are saved today. Who can point a finger at me today? Who can accuse me now and accuse me and condemn me of sin? Jesus Christ says nobody can do this. Nobody can point a finger at you. Have anybody ever got in an argument? Everybody ever lost their cool you as you might be talking to them? And some might tell you, hey, you go to hell. The thing about it is, you can't go to hell if you're saved. Jesus Christ says, I have the key of life, the key of death, and the key to hell. I'm telling you here this morning, if you're saved by the grace of God and the blood of Jesus Christ says, I have the key. What is the keys for? There's a locked doors and they're to unlock doors. I want to tell you what, by faith you are not condemned. Jesus Christ says, I do not condemn you. You are saved by the blood. And I'm going to tell you what he done the time that you got saved. He took the keys of hell and he locked that key of hell, that you cannot go to hell if you save. You are not condemned because he has saved us and we are not condemned. He locked us out of hell. And I'm going to tell you what, he has locked us where we might be able to go to a place called heaven. We already are locked into heaven today. I'm going to heaven, and it's not by the way I live, I'm going to tell you, and it's not by my righteousness, it's by the righteousness of God. He has nailed this to the cross of Calvary, and I'm not condemned. Nobody can condemn me. Oh yes, they people point their finger at me and they tell me all types of things, but I'm going to tell you, only God is the only one that condemns people. Only God that condemns people. Or you might cuss people out and tell them what you want to, but only God. And only God can say that that person is a righteous person. Romans 8:33 again it says, who shall lay anything to God's charge of his elect? Who can do that? Who can do that? Well, nobody can, so we judge people a lot, but we can't condemn people. It is God that justifies. I'm going to say he's nailed it to the cross. He's nailed my sin to the cross. And it is God that justifies. I am not condemned because God has justified me by my faith, justified by the death of Jesus Christ, and nailed my sins to that cross of Calvary. I'm going to tell you what. And it gave me a certificate of debt, and that is the word of God by facts. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. I'm going to tell you, the blood of Jesus Christ played in full. Now, if you're here this day, and I'm going to tell you what, you're just playing with God. John 3:18 said, he that believes on him is not condemned. You believe on him, but there's a but there, and God put it there. He that believeth not, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ, you are condemned already because you have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. It didn't say anything about a church member. It didn't say anything about somebody that knows how to be saved but not saved. I'm going to tell you what, it's somebody that's saved. If you're saved today, there's a great difference when somebody says they're saved or somebody knows how to be saved than somebody that's saved. I'm going to tell you, your life will show whether you're saved or not. I'm going to tell you, baptism means absolutely nothing if you're not saved. It only shows that you have been saved. But I'm going to tell you, the reaction of your life towards Jesus Christ, if you're saved, I'm going to tell you, show up. The pool in the forest of the Mississippi River is going towards the coast. It's going south all the time. And I'm going to tell you what you might think and what you might say and what you might believe. But I'm going to tell you, if the goal in the pool of your life is not toward Jesus Christ and the things that Jesus Christ loves, and I'm going to tell you what, the people of Jesus Christ, the word of Jesus Christ, and if it's a pull the other way and you have no part in that, I'm going to tell you, your flow is going in the opposite direction, and God says he's condemned already, that person condemned already, because they will not believe in God. I'm going to tell you, I don't have to worry about condemnation of sin. I've been forgiven. But also what he nailed to the cross with the curse of the law, he nailed that. In verse 14 again, he says, blotting out the handwriting ordinance that was against us, contrary to our life, he took it out of the way and nailed it to the cross. That's the law. The law was good. The law was perfect. Not a blemish. No fault in the law. But we are sinners, and we could not keep the law, but we was under the law. Galatians 3:10 says, for as many as of the whole law under the law, the curse. For it is written, curses everyone that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law do condemn them, or even do them. Galatians 3:13, again what it says, as you understand this, what it said, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, curses everyone that hangs on a tree. If you try to live by the law, many a person this day tries to live by the law. They try to live by the Ten Commandments or the Golden Rule. You try and you try and you try. And any person this day is trying to live right, I'm going to tell you, they are under the curse of the law, and they are condemned by the law. They cannot keep the law, never intend for you to keep the law. All of us, and I'm going to tell you, have broken this law either one or more times, many, many times. If you have a 10 links of chain, and I'm going to tell you, it's dangling over a great fire in a great valley somewhere or another, and those 9 links are made out of steel and 1 link's made out of paper, I'm going to tell you, that chain is no stronger than that paper link. And I'm going to tell you what the fire do. It will burn it away. Again, it says in Galatians 3:10, you see, we're under the curse of the law. I deserve hell. I don't have to worry about what I've done, because I've done enough to deserve hell, because I've told one lie. And I've told one lie, I've told more than one lie. I deserve hell. But I don't have to worry about the curse of the law, because I never tried to live by the law. But I knew I couldn't live by the law. I throwed myself on the grace of Lord Jesus Christ and by the mercy to save me. And he said, whosoever shall come to me, I will no wise cast out. I come to Jesus Christ, and he's never cast me out. I'm going to tell you what, I don't have to worry about the curse of the law. I don't have to worry about trying to live by the law. I live by the grace of God, because I fail daily and I fail continuously, but God always is there with me, because he nailed my sin to the cross. But not only that, the charm of this world has been nailed to the cross. For each and every one of us today, the charms of this world. Galatians 2:8 is what it says. Beware lest any of you spoil you for vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudeness of this world and not after Christ. This world will pull you. I'm going to tell you, it's a great gravity pull of this world has on every one of us today. The ungodly system is what he's talking about. Anything that pull you away from church. Is there anything that will pull you away from church? Your relationship to the church, I'm going to tell you what, is your relationship to Jesus Christ. You cannot separate Jesus Christ from the church. He loved the church and he died for the church. If there's anything that's pulling you away, always, this world is always pulling you. Wednesday night I told you about drifting. You never drift towards God. You always drift away from God. Always we're drifting away from God in this worldly system. 1 John 2, 15 and 16 tells us, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is of this world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of this world. Listen, if we love Jesus Christ as we ought to love Jesus Christ, this world will not appear good to us. We love the things of the world. I'm going to tell you, the love of the Father is not in us. Galatians 6 and 14 says, talking of Paul says now, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom this world is crucified unto me and I unto this world. He died on the cross because, he says, the pull and the charm of this world has on us. Paul says, I died. If this world has a pull and a charm, you, I'm going to tell you, you failed to glory in the cross. If you're not flowing towards heaven, if you're not flowing towards Jesus Christ, and this world is pulling you, you're not glorying in the cross as Paul says we ought to. Jesus Christ crucified this old world. Should not we have no claim upon us whatsoever? As he put this old world on the cross, I'm going to tell you, this old world should have no more effect on you than a dying corpse is left out in the sun, is hanging there on the cross of Calvary, this old world. God has crucified this world. But also the corruption of the flesh. Colossians 2 and verse 11, to whom also ye are circumcised with uncircumcision, made without hands, and putting off the body of sin of the flesh by the circumcision of God, or Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who have raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, have quickened together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses. Now, he's talking about the flesh, and he's not talking about this body that you see right here. Whenever it says the flesh and the body, it's talking about this old nature that I was born with, this old nature that I have. And he said he had crucified this old nature with him even before. When we was lost, we had a pull, but he crucified this old flesh. Galatians 5 and 24 says, and they that are Christ, having crucified this flesh after the afflictions of the lust thereof. Colossians 2 and 12 tells us again, buried with him. Baptism. Whenever I was baptized, that was a liquid tomb. When you was baptized, that was a liquid tomb. That was your funeral. And I'm going to tell you, on this mourners that come, your funeral, my funeral, when we went to be baptized, was the devil itself, because you and I was buddies with the devil. And he was on one morning. Romans chapter 6 and verse 6 says, knowing this then, that our old man, that is that old nature, is crucified with him. When was that? 2,000 years ago. That the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin no longer. Destroyed don't mean annihilated, it just means put out of use. The devil can't make you do anything. But not only that, the control of the devil is nailed to the cross. It says in Colossians 2, 14 and 15, blotting out the handwriting of ordinance again that was against us, nailed him to the cross. All right, the principality and powers, it said. John 12 and 31 tells us, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Ephesians 6 and 12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and power, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. He says, I have put him out of use. Now, the last thing, the conqueror of death, he nailed it to the cross. Hebrews on Colossians 2 and 12, as I read this again, think about what it says, buried with him and baptized, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who have raised him from the dead. I'm going to be raised also. And also Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 15, and deliver them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime was subject to bondage. See, all my life I was fearing death until I got saved. I don't fear death anymore because I don't have to worry about death. Are you scared? No, I'm not scared. Are you ready to die? No, I'm not really ready to die. But whenever God gets ready for me, I'm telling you, I'm going. And he'll give me the sweetest grace that I've ever experienced all my life while I lived on this earth. I'm not fear of death. It's going to come one of these days to each and every one of us. Now, this morning, I gave you a piece of paper. I hope the Spirit of God has let you write something on it. Now, as Miss Nancy comes, Brother Orville, what we're going to do is while we begin to sing and you stand up, if God has placed it on your heart, I want you to come up and drop that letter in that little box right there. Drop it in that box, and you may be seated, or you might want to come and pray, whatever it might be. But at this time, as they begin to sing, as we stand this hour right now,